is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Tuesdays on the Huge Show across Michigan are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Book your getaway today at SoaringEagleCasino.com and also download the Eagle Access app. And they now have live sports wagering inside the Ascend Sportsbook and Nightclub inside Soaring Eagle in Mount Pleasant. And if you want to get an update and buy tickets to all the great indoor shows, find out about the promotions and the giveaways, go to SoaringEagleCasino.com and download that Eagle Access app. Tuesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by the incredible Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
It's the Huge Show on a Tuesday. Hi, everybody. No Bill Simonson today. Dan Hasty filling in for Bill. Brett Hayes, also known as Superfly, apparently. I haven't seen it. As he immediately drops the music. Brett Hayes on the ones and twos. Thanks, everybody. It's been a fun Tuesday. It's been a busy Tuesday, is what it's been. We've talked to Tarek Skubal of the Detroit Tigers. We've talked to Mark Montgomery, the new head coach at the University of Detroit Mercy. Who else have we talked to? Matt Kelly of PlayerProfiler.com. Fantasy football talk. Fantasy football talk on the Huge Show. Lomas Brown of the Detroit Lions radio network has been here. We're going to do more Lions coming up later this hour. Jeremy Reisman of Pride of Detroit. But before we talk to my next guest, we're going to be giving away pairs of tickets to see the Grand Rapids Griffins in the AHL playoffs. They take on the Rockford Ice Hogs tomorrow night at Van Andel Arena. Be the first caller at 1-866-838-HUGE and win a pair of tickets. Actually, we'll give away a couple pairs. You can get tickets to see the Griffins work their way towards their third Calder Cup. You can get tickets online as well at griffinshockey.com. We'll take callers numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6. 3, 4, 5, and 6 at 1-866-838-HUGE. 1-866-838-HUGE. You can go see the Grand Rapids Griffins. Again, tickets are also online, griffinshockey.com. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll talk with John Morosi of MLB Network. As Tuesdays are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. As we'll kind of work into the national perspective, we'll look at the Tigers and the rest of Major League Baseball, see what else is going on. I'm also curious, not only about the Tigers, but the Houston Astros, too. There's a couple other teams, and there's a lot of different teams that are surprising for different reasons, but did you see the Houston Astros? They're 9-19. And for a team that's been to the ALCS for six consecutive years, not that I don't think anyone's feeling bad for them particularly, but they're only three games better than the Chicago White Sox. Six straight years in the ALCS, and they're three games better than the White Sox. How is that happening? I mean, they're right there with the White Sox and the Marlins. That's stunning. Anyone else find it hard to believe that the best record in baseball right now comes from the American League Central? That just doesn't seem fair, does it? For all the talk that we had all year long about how the most winnable division in baseball was going to be the AL Central, okay, fine. By a half game, the NL East is a half game better. But the Cleveland Guardians are 19-9. And the Detroit Tigers would be in first place in at least one other division in Major League Baseball. But for what it's worth, if the season ended today, and actually MLB.com put up this graphic the other day, and this is the graphic that will warm the heart of Tigers fans everywhere, that if the postseason started today, the Detroit Tigers would be a part of that postseason. So let's pivot to a national perspective on the Tigers and the rest of Major League Baseball. And let's do it with John Morosi of MLB Network. He joins us now on the Meyer LPGA guest line. John will be a part of MLB Network's showcase broadcast on the Yankees and Orioles tomorrow. Plus, you can catch him every morning on MLB Central at 9 a.m. Eastern time. JP, good to have you, my friend.
Dan, it's great to be with you. Congratulations to you on all of your success in broadcasting baseball and all the other sports that you do so well, Dan. So it is great to be with you today. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate that. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with the Tigers. And naturally, the Cleveland Guardians are off to a tremendous start as well. But the Tigers, for so many years, have had a lot of trouble in April. This year is not one of those years. What have your observations been about what the Tigers have been to this point?
Dan, I think it's all about pitching, and we've seen them win a lot of close games. Certainly, they've had some timely hitting late, which I think has been the secondary theme. But in general, outside of maybe some rocky starts here and there by Maeda, it is hard to take much issue with the way they've pitched in the rotation this year. Skubal looks like a Cy Young candidate and a future, really a current star in this game for a long time to come. They have a dependable rotation, and look no further than the fact that when they've got a doubleheader like today, they bring Manning back, and he's pitched as well as basically anybody. He's nominally a Triple-A. So they've got a really, really good situation with depth. I think that Foley has been very, very trustworthy at the end of the game. I think he's really emerged as one of the more reliable closers. Just looking at their bullpen in general, Miller's been really good. I think he was a great find by the front office in the offseason. So you would expect, and this is probably that last piece, Dan, is when the middle of the lineup gets a little bit more productive, I think you're waiting for Torkelson to really produce. You're waiting for Keith to show that he's comfortable at the major league level. Those are still some ifs. But I can tell you a lot of teams around baseball have ifs. Very few of them are sure things in every regard of the game, if any, really. And a lot of teams in the game would trade their problems for the Tigers' problems, because the Tigers are strong in what you need, which is starting pitching, and as well, there's this subjective element to it's a young team. It seems to play with a lot of energy. They like to play baseball together, and that may sound subjective and difficult to prove, but I think if you watch this team play this season, you've picked up on that. And teams, you look at the Padres last year, all their numbers said they're supposed to be a good team. Well, they weren't, and they were losing every close game. They were losing every extra inning game. The Tigers have been quite the opposite of that, and that to me says that they're engaged with each other, with the coaching staff, with their manager, and those are all really good signs, not just for the chance to make the playoffs in 24, but for this to be the start of a pretty special 3 or 4 year cycle.
I don't know about you, but I think Matt Manning might be the best 27th person on the roster in all of Major League Baseball. You know, it's so funny. Guys throwing harder than we've seen throughout the course of the last couple of years. What have you picked up on as it pertains to how the Tigers have developed pitching as of late?
You know, it's a great question, Dan, and certainly you're up close there in the minor league system to understand how they've done it. I think they've got a very good plan, and certainly Chris Fetter, when he came in as the pitching coach, I think a lot of people in the industry said, okay, this makes a lot of sense. You're getting someone in who had a really good track record at the University of Michigan, working with those teams that made it deep in the NCAA tournament, made it to Omaha the 1 year, and he specialized in getting the most out of starting pitchers who are 18, 19, 20, in their early 20s. And that's basically the foundation of this team. And so you brought in someone who is an expert at helping pitchers in this area. And also the way that the Tigers have organized their staff, and A.J. Hinch is, I think, really good in a lot of ways as a manager, and one of his strongest traits is that he understands the importance of a great coaching staff. So whether it's Federer, Robin Lund, they've got a really good team all around to help nurture their pitching, and they've got guys with the right stuff. I mean, you can't have success in this game right now unless you have the requisite stuff. And Flaherty, I think, has learned how to adapt. Manning, it looks to me like his stuff is very crisp, and he's maybe attacking even a bit more this year than he was towards the end of last season. So a lot of that is you credit the players themselves, certainly. But I think that as time has gone on, the Tigers coaching staff has learned how to really fashion down that stone into that what is needed for them to really have actionable information on the mound. And I think they've done a really good job of having a comprehensive pitching plan that we're now seeing play out with some really, really talented young arms.
John Morosi of MLB Network joins us. I know we're not supposed to care what other people think of us, but you've got your ear to the ground. What's the perception in baseball circles of Scott Harris and Tigers player development?
I think very strong, and I think that now the big question and test will likely be at this trade deadline and what direction Scott goes in. I think that when you look at last year, I think one critique, and it's fair, is that they probably should have gotten more for what they had at the deadline. I realize the Eduardo Rodriguez situation was different and unique, but ultimately you've got to find a way to get something for him. And whether it was an issue of communication between agent and player, or agent and team, or team and team, whatever it was, the outcome wasn't what it was supposed to be. And that's ultimately on the front office. You have to have gotten more for that at that point in time. And Lorenzen, we'll see how the return goes from that trade, getting an infielder that we'll see if he ends up being a frontline starter in MLB or more of a utility guy. But I think that you had two of the more marketable guys out there and probably an underwhelming deadline. Now, the Marcana pickup was good based on the results so far. That was an excellent move the Tigers made there. Maeda, a little bit of positive, a little bit of negative. I think that Flaherty's been good. Shelby Miller's been excellent. So I think overall you would say it's certainly an above-average grade right now, but this is now when you look at this roster and say, okay, who are you going to be able to bring in at the deadline if you're going for it, if you're in the race to win this division, which is a winnable division. As well as Cleveland has played, as well as KC has played, Minnesota's on a really good winning streak too. It's a division that you should be able to compete in and potentially win. And so I think that the industry feels like Scott has done a good job, and that this July trading season is going to be a major test. And I think you also have to look at last year's draft. And you look at Max Clark and his development and where he ends up going. Obviously, the guy that was still available when they picked Clark, Wyatt Langford's already in the big leagues and making an impact for Texas. So that's going to be something that we talk about for a long time as well. So I think overall, very good. The infrastructure of the organization, Dan, and you know this too, is as good as it's been in a long time in terms of just the foundational elements of what the Tigers are all about. I think now the next step is, okay, how do you do with getting someone like Torkelson to be the best version of himself and then adding the right players to actually put together a playoff team?
Yeah, and I guess the big question now is, let's say they do hang in the division until mid-June, early July, mid-July, and then the question becomes, how do they go all in? Do they push those chips in, and what pieces are they willing to part with in order to do that? You know some of the big pieces in the minor league system. I mean, which guys are you not willing to part with?
So that's a great question. Certainly for me, Jobe is the guy that obviously everybody's going to ask for, but I don't see any scenario in which they move him. I think that he is someone that can obviously make an impact on this team soon. So I don't think that you make that move at all. Young, I think you would expect and it's unique, obviously, with Keith struggling. Is there a way to get Young up to the big leagues at this point or soon? I almost thought that when with Kennedy getting option today, that maybe we would have seen Keith go down just to get his swing organized, but obviously they chose to option Kennedy when Ibanez was activated. I think that there's probably a couple guys that are somewhat untouchable. I'm always a believer that there should be no untouchables in terms of just the broad industry. You should always listen on everybody. But the theory that I've got with the Tigers right now is that they are very unlikely to give up high value guys for rentals. And I know that's not necessarily a dramatic statement, but there are those teams out there. Baltimore, for example, they're so good and their farm system is so stacked that if they wanted to give up one of their better young players to get the right rental arm from a team that's out of it, okay, that makes sense just given where they're at. The Tigers are not quite a dominant World Series contender right now, in my view, to where they would validate giving up someone of high value to bring in a rental guy. Now, they've done a very good job, and you know this. They're A level. They're so Class A level, obviously in West Michigan and Double A. Got some really good arms there. So they have enough redundancy there with good young starting pitching to where they can, I believe, trade from that depth. But that's where the big question comes. You got to trade the right guy at the right time. When someone's value is up, maybe you're not so sure that he's going to be someone that's in your rotation. Okay, trade him now. And I think that's where when you're in that situation and you've got a rotation of 4 to 5 guys putting up big time numbers like what you've got at Class A right now for Detroit, I think that's maybe where you pull from and make a trade from that level as opposed to someone like a Job or a Young who certainly can help you would expect, if not this year, then certainly next.
John Morosi with us. What's the best thing you can tell Tigers fans to manage expectations for the Parker Meadowses and Cole Keiths of the world?
Well, it's hard to hit right now, Dan, and that's something that I hear. You know, I get a chance. I'm really fortunate in my career where I'm going around and working different major league broadcasts. And when you're in the manager's office and you're having the production meeting about everybody's team and how you're doing, most of the managers that I talk to, they've got a couple of guys who are really struggling, and they're often young guys. And we just saw Jackson Holliday, one of the very top hitting prospects that we've seen in this game in a long time, up for a couple weeks, sent right back down. And he was regarded as can't-miss of a can't-miss guys who's ever going to be. And so I just think things happen so fast now. It is hard to hit. We need to see, I think, better ability to adjust from, broadly speaking, from young hitters, and that's not about Jackson, it's about things in general, whether it's Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, the struggles that Keith has had, the struggles that Meadows has had. This is normal. It's normal now with everybody throwing 90-mile-an-hour breaking balls that it's darn difficult to be a major league hitter right now. And so I think that my advice would be, if you want to get upset about how the Tigers lineup looks day to day, just take your MLB app and flip around to different teams and realize that there's a few guys basically everywhere who have OPSs in the 400s and 500s, because that's just where we're at right now as an industry. So I think you really believe in the people and the players as you do with Keith and Meadows, and hope that at some point they figure it out. But it's tough when now there's expectations now on this team that weren't there a year ago, and you're falling short of what you believe that you can do. This game, as you know, Dan, it can grind on you day to day, and I think that's what certainly Parker and Cole Keith are going through.
I didn't expect Jackson Holliday to go 2-for-34, and I also didn't expect the Houston Astros to be 9-19, 28 games in. How did that happen?
That's a great question. I think they've had some pitching issues that have crept up and become very problematic all at once. Their bullpen, they brought in Josh Hader thinking that was going to strengthen things, and it hasn't worked out. Verlander just got back. Abreu, this news broke in the last hour, has gone down to the minor leagues because he's just so lost at the plate. That's a former MVP who's just kind of lost it, for lack of a better description. So there's a lot going on right there, and it's an older team in terms of, you know, guys like Bregman and Altuve. I mean, Altuve is still going to hit. Alvarez has gone off to a slow start. They've missed some guys that used to, I think, keep the group united, if you will. Guys like Brantley is no longer there. Maldonado behind the plate is no longer there. So I think they had to kind of re-find what their true north is as a clubhouse, and I think it's just taken them some time. But there's a lot of talent on that roster, and I certainly don't rule out the possibility of them bouncing back. But I got to tell you, Dan, I like Seattle's roster better. I like the Rangers roster better. And you look at that division, and we've even seen the Angels play pretty decent baseball. Oakland's been better than anybody expected. I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs here, but the wins in that division are tougher to come by for the Astros than they've been in a very, very long time. So I think a lot of different elements explain why, Dan, but their slump is real, and I don't think it's going to be a snap your fingers, bounce right back kind of a time. They've got a long climb ahead of them.
And lucky for them, it's a long season. John will be part of MLB Network's showcase broadcast of the Yankees and Orioles tomorrow. Plus, you can catch him every morning on MLB Central at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. John Morosi of MLB Network. Doesn't feel like that long ago that we were outside the locker room at Dow Diamond. Shout out to our friends at 100.9 The Mitt in Midland. Keep up the good work, JP, and thanks again for making the time.
You bet, Danny. All the best wishes there, and certainly I still follow the Whitecaps carefully. I covered that team, as you know, 21 years ago. My goodness, what a great time that was in Grand Rapids. So all the best to you and your family, Dan. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, JP. That is John Morosi, one of the good ones from MLB Network. Now, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Grand Rapids Griffins in the AHL playoffs take on the Rockford IceHogs tomorrow night at Van Andel Arena. Call us at 1-866-838-HUGE and win a pair of tickets. You can get tickets to see the Griffins work their way towards their third Calder Cup. You can get tickets online as well at griffinshockey.com. We step aside. When we come back, we'll talk to Jeremy Reisman, Pride of Detroit. We get a chance to catch up with him, talk a little Lions football as we put the finishing touches on another edition of The Huge Show as we motor along through this Tuesday edition brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant.
From Grand Rapids to Detroit, this show is huge.
In the 10.
Step up to the plate with Eagle Casino and Sports, the mobile sportsbook app that you can bet on all your favorites all year round, including, of course, our national pastime. So download the app and start winning today at Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan. Must be 21 years or older and in Michigan to play.
The Tigers are entertaining the St. Louis Cardinals, and every time these two teams clash, I think of the World Series. They first clashed in 1934 with the Cardinals winning in seven games, despite a .379 average from Charlie Gehringer during the series. They would meet again in the famous 1968 Fall Classic with the Tigers coming from behind to win it in seven games. Mickey Lolich with an epic series, winning three complete games, allowing just five earned runs. They met again in 2006 with the Tigers heavily favored, only to fumble away the series in five games. The Cards that season won it all despite winning just 83 regular season games and being 13 games under .500 on the road. Hard to believe.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Roast Umber is a farm-direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro Cold Brew Coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Tuesday, another edition of The Huge Show. Bill Simonson's got the day off. I'm Dan Hasty. Thanks for hanging out. Tuesdays are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. We like Mount Pleasant. Fire up chips. Fun day today. It's been a busy day today. We've had Lomas Brown. We've talked a little Detroit Lions, and we didn't get quite enough of that, did we? So, that brings us to my next guest. It's Jeremy Reisman, Pride of Detroit. You can find him on X at Detroit Online. His feed is full of links to great articles and deals on breakfast sandwiches. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing over here?
Thanks for joining us, man. I mean, let's get into it. Over the weekend, from an experience standpoint, was the NFL draft everything you thought it would be?
Oh, man. And more, honestly. You never really know how the event's going to go downtown and, you know, I don't know the last time Detroit had anything this big before. And so, there's some concerns you may have. There's some, you know, excitement things that you might have. And, you know, everything that I hear in terms of feedback of how it was downtown, obviously the attendance records were incredible. And the scenes on TV and photos was just breathtaking, honestly, at times. So I think you could say the draft itself went off probably way better than most people's expectations. And the thing that's really exciting about it for me is, like, now you're starting to hear rumblings that, like, maybe they're going to get an NHL All-Star game. Maybe they're going to get an NBA All-Star game. You know, this seems like maybe this is just kind of the beginning of a kind of renaissance in Detroit being a mainstream destination for big events.
I don't know if you remember when the Super Bowl came here, but it was just so bitter cold that, I don't know, it was just tough to enjoy that. But this was just so different, and it was just so electric. I mean, it didn't hurt that the weather was fairly good all weekend long, but from that experiential standpoint, phenomenal. But from the Lions standpoint, I don't know where you were on the spectrum of, I want Tyrion Arnold before the pick comes in and everyone goes crazy. But were you on that bandwagon before that name got right off the card?
Yeah, I had a specific person in mind once I saw that they traded up, but I kind of had a feeling it might be a cornerback. I had joked, I think, the week before that they trade up and go get Quinyon Mitchell, kind of half jokingly. And he was kind of my guy a little bit over Tyrion, but I kind of had him 1A, 1B. So, I think Lions fans should be pretty darn happy with them being able to get Tyrion where they did, because, you know, I think when we thought, you know, imagine they trade up for what it would take to get Tyrion on or Quinyon Mitchell, that I think most people's top two, you were talking about trading into the teens. You were talking about trading into, you know, the top half of the draft. So to be able to get him in 24, and sure, it did cost him a third round pick. I think that was pretty much worth the trade up and worth getting what I think the Lions probably think was the best defensive talent in the draft.
You know, I think one of the things, and we were talking to Lomas about this earlier in the show today, is that I respect the fact that when they make these moves, and I know they traded a future three, I know they even traded a current three, and they traded a future four, but these guys that they go get, it's either they're so convicted or they do their homework. I mean, in the case of the tackle from University of British Columbia, but they're trying to swing for a home run, and I can't help but respect that. What did you think about those two picks in the middle rounds?
Yeah, they were certainly interesting. They definitely seemed like you said, they're big swings at the bat there. And I think it's, you know, my kind of take on the overall weekend is Brad Holmes is really gaining a lot of confidence. He's really, if you kind of see the progression of his draft picks, you know, he didn't trade all that much early on. He did some trade ups and trade downs in year two. But now, you know, four trade ups in this draft, you get a guy, like you said, from British Columbia and Giovanni Manu. You get Sione Vaki, the safety turned running back turned special teamer. These are kind of big swings. And listen, given his track record, it's hard for me to really, I don't know, heavily criticize these. But I think it's also worth pointing out that these are risky picks. And you can say maybe, you know, the Lions roster is in a spot where you can take a little bit of a risk. You can take a little bit of a swing in the fourth round where, you know, I think most people would look at Giovanni Manu and say, all right, he's big, he's fast, but he's going to take a long time to get used to the NFL game. The Lions seem to be thinking maybe he's going to be a guard. That's a long-term project. We take our long-term projects in the fifth and sixth round, not the fourth. But Brad, yeah, I think you're right. Like, Brad has a lot of conviction, and I think he also has a lot of confidence in his coaching staff. I think that's kind of a little bit of a reflection of these quote-unquote risks. Is, all right, yeah, Sione Vaki maybe hasn't played a lot of running backs since high school, but we think we have a really good running backs coach. Maybe Giovanni Manu is going to take a while to adjust to the NFL level and adjust to right guard, but we have one of the best offensive line coaches in football, so we believe we can take him a little bit around earlier just to make sure he's on our side.
I keep playing around with Sione Vaki, and I'm trying because I like to play the comp game, and I try to figure out who these guys remind me of, and I literally, for the life of me, I can't cop Sione Vaki to anyone. I wanted to do Taysom Hill, and I can't even put Taysom Hill on Sione Vaki. Help me figure out who this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, the comp I make, and it might feel a little underwhelming, is a safety turn running back that was on the Lions team a couple years ago, and Godwin Igwebuke. He was a guy that did a little bit of returning, was a pretty good special teamer for this team, and even flashed a little bit in running back when they need him. I think he's got a much higher ceiling than Godwin did, but Godwin's a guy that they really liked in this building. I think they just kind of found themselves at a little bit of a logjam at running back. And so, you know, I think there's more meat on the bone. I think he has a real chance to be kind of, you know, a gadget player, a guy that they build specific plays for on offense. The personal protector position is kind of important on special teams. It's a guy that's right in front of the punter. He's important for the Lions because a lot of times that's the guy running a fake punt. And the guy who did it before was CJ Moore, but he obviously had that suspension last year. And so they were kind of looking around. I think Jalen Reeves-Maven was the guy who was doing it last year. He wasn't quite as good. So I think they're going to get very creative with him. If you're looking for a guy who might be like that punt, that fake punt specialist, I think it could be him. But I think in due time, he's also going to have a few interesting plays in the playbook for him, too, on offense, because we all know Ben Johnson is a guy that can certainly come up with something interesting for him.
We're talking to Jeremy Reisman of Pride to Detroit. Speaking of versatility, so I call baseball games, and so I was imploring one of the broadcasters I was calling baseball with to go look up DJ Reader baseball highlights, because they are just the most incredible YouTube video watching. And I'm just fascinated to watch how he works his way into this defense, because he's just such a mammoth human being. But more importantly, he's going to be such a huge help for what they're doing. The offense, by and large, isn't going to change a whole lot. Of course, they're going to have a few changes with Jonah Jackson being gone and, you know, a change at the guard spot, but by and large, that's a pretty same offense coming back. But defensively, what are you hoping to see other than just the obvious?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think DJ Reader is such a huge piece of the puzzle, not only in terms of what he can bring to the field once he's fully cleared of his injury, in terms of like interior pass rush, that's going to be huge. But they got a veteran in that room that can help some of these young guys, that can help Mekhi Wingo, a guy they drafted this week, and that can help Levi Onwuzurike or, you know, Broderick Martin. They have a lot of young guys in their room, but I think what they've really done a good job of, really through the years, is to pair this really, really, really young roster with one or two veterans at every position to kind of help make sure they're doing things the right way and developing. And so You know, interior pass rush, I think, is key to this defense improving. We saw all the pressures that Aiden Hutchinson got last year, led the league, according to PFF. But in order to kind of turn those pressures into sacks, you need a little help. You need someone else directing the quarterback to you. You need someone else, you know, blocking off escape routes for the quarterback. And so getting a little interior pass rush from him, you know, you also add Marcus Davenport, who can play a little bit inside. You hope that Josh Pascal takes a little bit of development. And then obviously the biggest change they've made at all is that cornerback room. It's completely overhauled. We're going to see two new starters this year. They have maybe four capable starters on the outside corner position. And now you got Brian Branch in year two, and he might be moving between nickel and safety. So it's always kind of a mix between, you know, getting that extra pass rush and being able to cover a little bit longer. But that's clearly what the Lions needed to improve in most, because the run defense was fantastic last year. And so it's just that it's getting a little more into your pass rusher, making sure your cornerback can hold just a little bit longer. And hopefully that makes some massive changes in their pass defense.
I know typically once teams have to start paying guys, a window of opportunity can tend to close. I don't think that's exactly going to be the case with the Lions, but they did just pay Amon-Ra St. Brown. They did just pay Penei Sewell. But how long can this window of opportunity stay open despite them paying these guys slowly but surely?
Yeah, I would say it can last as long as you keep drafting well, because that's really the key is you have to maintain a young, cheap roster on some end, and then you can pay the foundational pieces on the other end. The only way you can really compete when you have foundational pieces that are the highest paid players at their position is if you have those guys on rookie deals. And so, you know, that's why there's a little bit of me. It's like, okay, you're taking these big swings, Brad Holmes, but remember, you're going to have to hit on these guys consistently to make sure that this window is consistently open. But the other thing I would say is it's never an issue. No team is ever complaining that they have too much talent, right? And so this team is still incredibly young. They're still, you know, in terms of, you know, average age, I think they're still bottom five or bottom 10 in terms of, you know, I should say youngest five, youngest 10. So that's a big key to being successful. And then, you know, at some point, being this good, being this consistent, being this young and talented tends to attract some veterans that you can get kind of on the tail end of their career and help that kind of reinforce having an expensive young roster. You can draw some of those guys in free agency that maybe you weren't able to 3 years ago when this was an up-and-coming team.
Josh Reynolds is out the door. What's fair expectations for a full healthy year, no suspension for Jameson Williams?
It's a good question. It's hard to know because there's obviously still a lot of room for his development. We saw him certainly come on towards the end of last year, but it wasn't like he was a five or six or seven reception a game kind of guy. But I'm not sure you necessarily need that. The way I like to look at it is, you know, let's look at the production of Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds last year. It was about 1,100 total yards together. Now, could you see Jameson Williams and, let's say, Donovan Peoples-Jones combine for 1,100 yards this year? I think that's a realistic expectation for those two. Of course, they could always bring in someone else. I know a lot of Lions fans are hoping they go out and get DJ Chark or any other free agency wide receivers there. But I think a reasonable expectation is like 500 to 600 yards from Jameson Williams, maybe, you know, a handful of touchdowns in there, and just kind of being that guy that also impacts everybody else, right? Like once he becomes a bigger threat and you know, a more frequent target for Jared Goff, then he's going to start drawing attention. He's going to start drawing, you know, the defense into a, you know, two deep shell. There's going to be two deep safeties there. And then you can run the ball more effectively. Then you can throw underneath more effectively to Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam LaPorta. So, well, I'm not necessarily expecting, you know, a 1,000-yard season or anything crazy from Jameson Williams. I do think he's going to obviously see an increase in his production, but maybe even more importantly, we're going to see defenses start to kind of take him more into consideration, and that'll open up some opportunities for everybody else.
Jeremy Reisman, Pride of Detroit. What's the last thing? I know June 1st is not that far away, so what's the last thing? I think there's a little bit of flexibility left for Brad Holmes. I mean, what do they need to do? Like, what's the last thing on their shopping list?
Yeah, I think it's probably a veteran safety. You look at that room right now, and it's really only three players deep. You got your two starters in Ifeatu Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph. And like I said, Brian Branch might play a little bit there. But you don't have much else in terms of reserves. Again, it's a really, really young room. And I do think they, in general, like to compensate that with a veteran. And so I'm with a lot of the Lions fans here that I think it just makes too much sense to give Quandre Diggs a call up, see if he's willing to finish out his career back here. And sign him to a 1-2 year deal. Hopefully not too expensive, given he's still out there on the market. But you know, you're right; they have a little bit of wiggle room. If they get a Jared Goff extension done relatively soon, that's actually an opportunity to open up more cap room by kind of decreasing his cap hit this year, while obviously increasing it in future years. So I think those are probably the two things that I think are on the to-do list: is let's get Jared Goff another 2-3 years on his contract, and let's bring Quandre Diggs back. Why not?
Jeremy, good stuff. I appreciate you taking some time out. I think a lot of people are really pumped after what happened over the course of the weekend and maybe also what happened over the course of the last couple of seasons. Can't thank you enough for taking some time with us. Thank you very much. He's Jeremy Reisman from Pride to Detroit. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's Jeremy Reisman from Pride to Detroit. You can find him on X at Detroit on Lion. Take a time out. Come back. We'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of The Huge Show, brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant.
Everything huge, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
Imagine this, a day filled with indulgence, bursting with excitement, and packed with extraordinary moments that build memories to last a lifetime. A day that is unmistakably yours, at the place that is undeniably spectacular. Whether you're winning big, dining lavishly, or relaxing oh so comfortably, it's your getaway reimagined at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Back here on a Tuesday edition of The Huge Show. Bill Simonson has had the day off. I'm Dan Hasty. I gotta tell you, I'm exhausted. I gotta do this again tomorrow? All right. Well, look, I'm not doing it unless we have Dan Miller, the play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. And guess what? 3:25 tomorrow. So we had Lomas Brown today, Dapper Dan tomorrow afternoon. We'll also talk to Chris Castellani, the Tigers fan extraordinaire. I love CC. He is as good as it gets when it comes to Tigers fandom and well-articulated Tigers fandom. Nobody rides the wave as well as he does. Max Boltman of The Athletic, who covers the Detroit Red Wings. We'll also hear from Tarek Skubal in case you missed the conversation here today. Anand Naduri of Player Profiler. He's been inside NFL front offices. We'll talk about the salary cap and how a Jared Goff deal could affect the Detroit Lions going forward. We've got a lot to cover coming up tomorrow. Cannot thank you enough for spending part of your Tuesday here with us today. Tuesdays are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. Thanks so much for hanging out with us here on a Tuesday edition of The Huge Show. I'll be back with you coming up on Wednesday. This is Dan Hastie in for Bill Simonson, and you've been listening to the Tuesday edition of The Huge Show.